Welcome back to Long COVID Doctor, an educational series for sufferers of long COVID. I'm Dr. Tim Robinson, formerly a family doctor, GP for 30 years, now a long COVID specialist. This is the second part on tinnitus and long COVID. In the first part, I talked about the symptoms and the causes. In the second part, I will talk about the management and outcomes. Check out the references and resources and links to social media in the show notes below. Just to say, any advice, diagnoses, treatments that I mention should only be considered after discussion with your own doctor or medically qualified health professional. And so, here we go, part two on tinnitus and long COVID. And just by way of a quick refresher, reminder, tinnitus is the perception of sounds in the ears or the head that don't come from an outside source. Tinnitus is extremely common, affecting 10% of the population. Tinnitus is only rarely a sign of anything serious, any underlying condition that is serious. Tinnitus is made by the hearing system in the brain, not the ears themselves. And the vast majority of cases of tinnitus are due to age-related changes in the inner ear auditory apparatus, in which there is usually impaired hearing loss also. 75% of patients with hearing loss also have tinnitus. As tinnitus is so poorly understood, this makes it very difficult to treat. It is probably due to a disturbance in one of the many parts of the auditory system, the inner ear, hearing apparatus, the nerves leading to the brain from the hearing apparatus, or even the hearing center in the brain itself, but also a dysfunction of the autonomic nervous system, which is all keyed in with the hearing center and the hearing system. Damage in any of these individual areas can result in tinnitus. And as I said, this makes it very difficult to treat. There is certainly no medication for the treatment of tinnitus. And so it comes down to just trying to manage it, to learn ways to be able to cope with it, and to wait for it to resolve with time. Most cases of tinnitus do improve or clear with time. The brain learns to blank it out, the process known as habituation. But it's impossible to predict how long this will take. Patients with mild tinnitus are often helped by simple explanation and reassurance, especially if underlying causes have been excluded. Patients with tinnitus associated with hearing loss may be helped by wearing hearing aids. Guidance from an audiologist would be helpful. Patients find that it helps to mask the symptoms of tinnitus, the sounds itself, with background sound. So natural sounds such as waves or a trickling stream or calm, relaxing music or white noise played on the mobile phone. Listening to other sounds can make the tinnitus seem less intrusive and reduces sort of tinnitus awareness, and hence reduce the distress, irritation, and annoyance that is associated with tinnitus. People really do feel pretty distressed and annoyed and irritated about having their tinnitus. At night, sound generation can be with using a small speaker under the pillow. Get these, you know, from Amazon or online, or on a bedside table, or like I said earlier with the mobile, you can download apps such as Headspace and Calm. Both of those apps have, if you like, soothing background natural sounds, like, you know, as I said, waves or trickling stream, etc. As I said in part one, a major contributor to tinnitus is stress and anxiety, as well as the frustration and annoyance that having tinnitus brings with it. These exaggerate and magnify the tinnitus. Studies have shown various mind-body techniques to be very helpful for tinnitus. So mindfulness, for example. Mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, MBCT, and of course, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, yoga, focused breathing techniques. These have all been shown in studies to be effective. They all aim to reduce stress and tension that frequently accompanies as well as exacerbates the tinnitus. There are a number of treatments and techniques that have not been found to be helpful. Again, you may well find this if you've Googled tinnitus and various resources online. These treatments or techniques, you know, are unsupported by evidence-based studies and certainly not recommended by NICE guidelines. So pharmacological treatments proposed are using antidepressants or anticonvulsants, anti-vertigo drugs, ginkgo biloba, melatonin, zinc. These are all listed as possible treatments that could help tinnitus, but as I say, not supported by evidence-based medicine. The other therapy that you may well have come across is neuromodulation therapies for tinnitus retraining. It claims to normalize neural activity of the auditory system, thereby reducing the perception of tinnitus. And the way these things work, these neuromodulation therapies, is by applying some sort of electrical or acoustic or magnetic energy device, probe, pad to the head or the neck. Following a detailed review of studies by NICE, it was concluded that neuromodulation interventions, as I've mentioned, could not be recommended as a treatment for tinnitus. So there we are. Read into that what you want. But basically, if NICE guidelines saying that we don't support them, I think that's the way we should be thinking. And for more information on tinnitus and its management, I'd strongly suggest that you contact the British Tinnitus Association, a trustworthy resource for free support. And, you know, Google them to get their website, or just go on to www.tinnitus.org.uk. And so, what else can we do to help the recovery from long COVID? I think that what we should be doing is taking the whole person view, the holistic view, into account. We need to be thinking about other aspects to do with the whole person. As I say, a holistic, integrative perspective. So we ought to be thinking about nutrition. We ought to be thinking about sleep, okay? Those normal physiological processes. So thinking about nutrition, first of all, thinking about our diet. The best diet really is a mixed balanced diet, i.e. the Mediterranean diet, one that contains all the necessary minerals and vitamins. So you don't have to take any mixed, you know, multi-minerals, multi-vitamins, because you get it all through your mixed balanced diet. These are the building blocks for cellular and tissue repair, as well as for correct physiological metabolism and the metabolic processes for energy generation within the cells, within the mitochondria. But also a mixed balanced diet will include all the fruit and the veg, which obviously, because of all the colours under the sun with our fruit, you know, contain all these anti-inflammatory antioxidants, the polyphenols. Those same fruit and veg in a Mediterranean diet also contain prebiotic fibre. Prebiotic fibre is really important to nourish our microbiota, the friendly gut bacteria. I cover this more fully in my talk on long COVID gut. So a healthy gut flora, so important for immune support, for production of vitamins, for production of hormones and neurotransmitter chemicals. So a mixed balanced diet, really important. Added to that, oily fish, you know, try and have oily fish once, twice a week, preferably twice a week, because oily fish contains omega-3 fatty acids, fish oils, essential fatty acids, which are very important for immune support. They're also important for cardioprotective reasons, but also for anti-inflammatory purposes. And finally, we should be considering supplementing with vitamin D. Now, I'm saying supplement that, having said earlier that you don't need multi-minerals, multivitamins necessarily, because your mixed balanced diet will provide all those vitamins and minerals. However, as we know, vitamin D is produced in the sun, in the skin, sorry, and the influence of UV light, UVB light, and it is generated, synthesized in the skin and gets into the circulation that way. But certainly here in the UK, we're pretty high up in the northern hemisphere, and so we're relatively sunlight starved, especially during the winter months. So there's no harm in taking vitamin D just to top up, because you're not making it during those months particularly. Patients always ask me, well, what do you take? Do you take anything? And the only things I take are the mixed balanced diet, plus also vitamin D as a sublingual, a spray under the tongue, 1,000 international units a day, as well as I take a one capsule of omega-3 fish oils once a day, 1,000 milligrams that contain DHA and EPA. Just for good measure, really. Yes, my wife and I have oily fish once a week, but, you know, just for good measure. So that's diet, nutrition, thought about, and sort of recommended. Sleep, as we know, is the great healer. So good sleep is a good thing. So why? Because during sleep, we refresh and repair. Basically, we must support the day-night cycle, the circadian rhythm, for release of those various restorative hormones. The one in particular is growth hormone. Majority of growth hormone is released from the pituitary gland in the brain at night. And so we should think about sleep hygiene in order to support that day-night cycle, the circadian rhythm. So sleep hygiene, you know, have a strict bedtime, strict get up in the morning time. And if you have difficulty getting off to sleep, or so insomnia, or you wake in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep, reach for a sort of sleep-enhancing, sleep-inducing novel, a Jane Austen novel, not a scary horror, a horror movie type of novel. Certainly no mobiles or screens, tablets, within an hour of turning the light off at night time, because they emit blue light, which is arousing, as opposed to orange, pink, red light, which is more relaxing. So if you still have difficulty getting off to sleep, despite reading your Jane Austen, then there's always Pyroton, a first-generation sedating antihistamine, which has been around for donkey's years, and it's safe. 4 milligrams at night time will help enhance sleep. There are studies to show that magnesium, 500 milligrams, taken at sort of bedtime, will also help aid getting off to sleep. Likewise, melatonin. A lot of people are going online and buying melatonin, 3 milligrams, rapid onset. Again, you know, our pineal glands, just behind the hypothalamus and pituitary gland in the brain, secrete melatonin at nighttime during the dark. Melatonin is a naturally produced hormone that has sleep sedative actions. So synthetic melatonin will do the same thing. A lot of people are trying it. And I cover all this in greater depth in my sleep disturbance presentation. So that's diet, nutrition, and sleep done. Thinking the holistic, whole person, general, integrative approach. Finally, I think it's really important just to say it again, you know, as part of the whole long COVID management, we must apply the fatigue management strategies, planning, pacing, prioritizing. So pacing, particularly the process of balancing activity, that's physical, mental, and emotional, with rest. Pacing gives you awareness of limitations, knowing your limitations, knowing your baseline, to work to and not to work beyond is so important. So you can plan your energy expenditure and hence conserve it and use it to most efficiently and most effectively. So I cover this, of course, in much greater detail in my presentation on long COVID fatigue. Besides all that, there is general advice available, which is trustworthy. A couple of resources which I always recommend, and that is Your COVID Recovery, the NHS England website for self-help, for patient resource, for symptoms and information and self-management. But also the Royal College of Occupational Therapists have excellent resources for managing, more specifically, fatigue. So, finally, the outcomes for tinnitus in general. So, as I stated in part one, most cases of tinnitus do improve or clear with time. The brain learns to blanket out. The process of habituation. Okay. And our collective experience in our long COVID patients in our clinics is that tinnitus usually settles naturally with time. This is presumably due to the inflammation of long COVID settling slowly, immune systems recalibrating and returning to normal, damaged cells, particularly nerve cells, getting replaced and reconnected by neuroplasticity, microclots getting cleared or bypassed, all the body systems, the immunological, the neurological, the inflammatory, the endocrinological, the circulatory systems, all becoming rebalanced and sort of in tune again, harmony, balance again. But unfortunately, this all takes time, and it's a pity that we don't have any specific treatment that speeds up these natural healing processes. But at least in the meantime, the explanations and suggestions that I describe, that I've described for tinnitus, but I describe in my other presentations for long COVID symptoms, will all help whilst the body heals itself, until more specifically tinnitus helps you be able to cope with tinnitus better, until habituation happens, the process of, as I say, process of blanking, the brain blanking out the tinnitus. And so that concludes the second part of my talk on tinnitus and long COVID, following on from the first part earlier. I hope you found them both helpful. So check out the references and resources and any links to social media in the show notes below. And finally, as I mentioned before, any advice, diagnoses, treatments that I mention should only be considered after discussion with your own GP or qualified health professional. In the meantime, I wish you well. I wish you well in your recovery from long COVID. So, cheerio.